Every summer growing up in Philadelphia, the city got hotter, literally and figuratively. Crime increased, and sweltering temperatures always exacerbated any situation. My mother was desperate to keep me out of trouble and keep me connected to the family. So we took trips every June or July, usually to South Carolina, or to Washington, D.C., to visit my Aunt Willie Mae, who had moved to D.C. to take a government job at the U.S. Mint. I loved our trips to D.C., where we saw monuments and so much history. I remember riding the bus with my aunt in the northwest section of D.C. and seeing a man hop on with a faded tee that said, "Run, Jesse, run." The blue shirt depicted a black man with an afro and a thick mustache. Something significant in my young brain made me ask for more information about that shirt. That was when my aunt told me about Jesse Jackson, the first African-American man to make a serious run at the presidency. She told me how he challenged Americans to turn off the TV for 2 hours a night to read, how his Operation Push had been working to improve the economic status for blacks since the 70s, and how he was Dr. Martin Luther King's right-hand man and worked with him until the day of his fateful assassination. It was safe to say that most of Washington, D.C.'s black population was rooting for Jesse. In 1984, Jesse Jackson became the second African-American after Shirley Chisholm to mount a nationwide campaign for president of the United States. He ran as a Democrat. In the primaries, Jackson, who had been written off by pundits as a fringe candidate with little chance of winning the nomination, surprised many when he took third place behind Gary Hart and former Vice President Walter Mondale. Walter eventually won the nomination. In 1984, Jackson garnered 3 million primary votes, or 18% of the total, and he won 5 primaries and caucuses, including Louisiana, D.C., South Carolina, Virginia, and one of 2 separate contests in Mississippi. My 7-year-old mind couldn't process elections, primaries, or caucuses, but I remember watching a few speeches on television while in D.C. and seeing a man who talked the way my uncles talked and who possessed the perfect combination of wit and charm. Jesse Jackson was a man of fire and fury. What Jesse possessed in style, though, he lacked in substance. His inexperience showed when he was constantly outclassed in debates. I remember my uncles and aunts having conversations over Miller High Life in Newport, stating that no black person would ever be president, and laughing them off. My favorite parts of summer vacation in Washington was visiting all the monuments and museums. I think those visits made me the history buff that I am today. I particularly enjoyed the Smithsonian Museums, and I never imagined that one day I'd even perform at that very museum a whole lot of years later. But anyway, after the summer, I returned to school with a new attitude, empowered and motivated by Jesse Jackson's work, limiting my disruptions and achieving at new levels. I won the school spelling bee, beat out a couple other students. I won a shiny green dictionary that I showed off. It was my prized possession. Despite its huge size, I actually carried it to school every day, weighing down my backpack. I was a top student in Kinzie Elementary for the next few years. I was laser beam focused on schoolwork and achievement until I met Christina. Christina Madison was cute. Her style and attitude attracted me more than anything. She was short and spunky with a bob haircut that was a little unkempt, but not too wild. Most important, she was hilarious. She always made everybody at our table bust out laughing. She sat next to me in 6th grade, and although I never made a move, she must have known something was up. Truthfully, I didn't really like her or any girl enough to be in a relationship. I was content with video games and sketchbooks. With my relationship batting average at a strong 0-0-0, I wasn't in any hurry. I was cool with my single status. I could spend my candy money on myself. One day, though, things escalated. For the first time that year, Christina was absent. I may have asked one or two people who walked to school with her if she was coming in. Absences are pretty rare in elementary school, so I was just a concerned classmate. But my inquiries got blown way out of proportion, and people told her that I'd asked about her all the time while she was gone. The gossip led to the lunchtime revelation that Raheem must have liked Christina. As juicy gossip will do, this revelation was all over the classroom in a matter of seconds. Giggles, snickers, pointing fingers, and more became my existence the whole day. everybody had an opinion on the news of the day, which was that the dork of the class, me, had a crush. I tried my best to deny it, but there was no use. I just moved on, hoping this story would die down by the end of the day. And it did. Christina returned the next day, and then everything picked up all over again. I couldn't get a break. Worse, Christina sat right next to me. Thankfully, she was a really good sport about it, or so I thought. As that tumultuous day ended, Christina shoved a note into my desk. I opened it up, and it contained the famous four words. Do you like me? There was a checkbox for yes or no. I didn't know how to answer, because I did like her, but I didn't like her like that. And I didn't want to check no, and then she might not want to talk to me. But if I checked yes, and she didn't feel the same, it was curtains. Lose-lose. So, in typical Raheem Jarbo fashion, I added a third box, and I wrote, I don't know, inside of it. Then, I asked her the question, do you like me? She wrote back, yes. I was in. I responded with an all caps, yes, and just like that, I had a girlfriend. Now what? I wondered. See, at age 12, there's not much a couple can do besides maybe hold hands when teachers aren't looking and draw names, join together with a plus sign and hearts around them. Couldn't bring Christina to my house, couldn't call girls yet, and I definitely couldn't let her big brother Randy find out about us. But in a way, keeping the secret was the most fun part of this relationship, at least for the first few days. Until my friend Kwame, who I would draw new Transformer designs with, told me one day, yo, Christina's trying to play you. I didn't even understand what he meant, but then I heard the same thing from my boy Tyrone. She's trying to play you, man. I couldn't see how she could be playing me when we weren't even doing anything. I figured they were just jealous. They didn't have girlfriends. Soon after, though, I noticed people smiling when we walked by holding hands. Later, those smiles turned to giggles, and it all came to a head at the end of the week, right after lunch on Friday afternoon. She wrote another note. Do you really, really, really like me? The crumpled paper stuffed into my desk said. Yeah, of course. Why? Because, I flipped it over. I don't really like you. I was just doing this because Nicole dared me to. I thought it'd be funny. Better luck next time, fats. Christina had played me. The only female attention I garnered in 6 years of elementary school was a ruse. Christina and her friends laughed it up after school, and my boys could only comfort me with, I told you she was trying to play you, dog. I requested that my seat be changed the next Monday, and I sat alone from then on, with sketchbooks and advanced level reading material to keep me company. Christina Madison's name might have been slightly changed and added into a rap song of mine called Dream Master that I recorded later. And even as I'm doing this, I probably shouldn't use her real name. But I probably don't care. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is Random Encounters. Peace.